Our scripture reading this morning will come from Romans 7, beginning with verse 13, and we'll read through chapter 8, verse 8. So it'll start on page 943 of your pew Bibles, and then we will read onto the next page through the 8th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning with the 13th verse of the 7th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. Hear now the word of our God. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walked not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Thus we've read Romans 7:13 through Romans 8:8. Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, this is your word. It's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would do just that to our hearts this morning. That you would be with the proclamation of your word, that it would glorify your name and edify your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul now moves into Romans chapter 8. He's just talked about the struggle of the daily Christian life. He's talked about this war within our members. This ongoing battle. The law of sin against the Spirit within us. It's making war in our members. And now he's transitioning to a better view that he wants us to see. Despite the fact that this is war, there's now no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. That you're not condemned. That you're forgiven. And that even though that we can look at ourselves and we see this war and we see this internal struggle, that's not how we're seen in the eyes of God. that we're seen through the blood of Jesus Christ, and there's now no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. We read 7:13 through the end of the chapter so that we could feel that transition, where Paul is at the point where he's saying, "Wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death?" And then the answer is, "Thanks be to God, it's Jesus Christ. There's now no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus." I think the impact of chapter 8, verse 1 isn't felt as much if we just pick up there and we don't remember. We just read that Paul is talking about, "I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do, and the things that I hate I keep on doing. I've got this great struggle. But now there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus." Because our God is satisfied in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 3 here where it says, "By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh." Because God the Father can't ever think that sin doesn't deserve death. Sin deserves death. The wages of sin is death. It's a truth and it can't be changed. From the very first book, where the Lord says to Adam, "You eat of this tree, you'll surely die." Sin and death have been linked from the beginning. It's not something that can be changed. You can't just say, "Okay, well now, if you're struggling with sin, then that's all right. Sin's not that big a deal." No, sin still deserves death. And the only way out is that someone had to pay that price. There's no other way around it. The law not only requires that sin be put to death, it also requires that righteousness be done. You have to do right. And Paul in chapter 7 has just told us, "I don't. I do the things I hate. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I hate doing as the law condemns, I keep on doing." He fails on both accounts. He's sinning, which deserves death, and he's not doing right, and he knows it. And if we're honest with ourselves, that's us too. We know there are times where the right thing to do was that other thing, and I didn't do it. I closed my eyes, and I just ignored what I should do, and I just went on. But that's not what Jesus did. By sending His own Son, in verse 3, "in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walked not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit." He did it on our behalf. The Lord Jesus came and He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He didn't sin, but He also did all the things He was supposed to do. As He tells us there in Matthew, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." Every jot and tittle. We would probably say that as He dotted every I and He crossed every T. Jesus did the law. And He kept it. Not just for His own sake, but for yours and for mine. So that when He willingly offered Himself up on the cross, that He could be that perfect Lamb without spot or blemish. So that He could fulfill the righteous requirement of the law, so that it would be fulfilled in us. That He who knew no sin would become sin, so that we who knew no righteousness could become the righteousness of God. Second Corinthians 5, verse 21. Because as we see, even in chapter 7, Paul knows he can't pay his way out. "Who will deliver me from this wretched state that I'm in, this body of death. And he's already a believer in Jesus Christ, yet he knows I can't pay my way out. Even after believing in Jesus Christ, I don't have the righteousness to make up for it. He can't pay the debt. If you want to think about it in financial terms, you can't have somebody that doesn't have any money pay his way out of debt. He's got nothing to pay with. Much less would he have been able to pay for other people and their way out of debt. He doesn't have the ability. And neither do we as sinners then have the ability to weigh the pay out the debt we owe God. Only the Lord Jesus can do it for us and for others. The one who is the true and righteous man, but yet also true God. He can pay the price for our sin, and yet also satisfy for others. Not just for himself, but for me, for you, for all those who believe in his name. So that God is satisfied in the work of the Son, and that our sins are forgiven. Even these sins that Paul is saying, look, I do these things, I don't know how, why, I just do the things that I hate. I've got this war within me. But he can say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because in him there's now no condemnation. In him now, I'm paid in full. In him now, I'm saved and I'm washed clean. And even those sins that I know I struggle with, those were forgiven by Jesus too. Even those sins I haven't done that I'll do when I'm 80 or when I'm 82 or however long the Lord lets me live, those have been paid for in full by Jesus Christ too. There's no condemnation. I struggle with sin and I'm trying to put it to death in my life, but when the Lord looks at me, He looks at me through the prism of Jesus and He sees no condemnation in me. I've been forgiven. God doesn't dangle those debts above my head. He doesn't say, hey, you've got this one left. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus paid it all. And God has set us free in the Holy Spirit. Can you see the freedom that you have thanks to verse 1 of chapter 8? There's now no condemnation for those who live in Christ Jesus. How that can free your soul and your conscience, your heart, free you to live the will of God now, knowing that there's no condemnation, that God's not angry with you, that He's forgiven you, that He's not going to destroy you. You can now go about serving Him and telling others that here's how there's no condemnation. Believe now in Christ Jesus and you could be saved. Because everyone including you and me and everybody else are sinful from birth. And what we deserve is God's wrath. Listen to verse 5, chapter 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it doesn't submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's where we all start out, in the flesh, hostile to God. Not pleasing God, setting our minds on our own business and doing what we want and what we care, setting our own rules and breaking God's. But then when the Spirit comes and gives us that gift of faith and we repent and believe in Christ Jesus, now we've been set free. Now there's no condemnation anymore upon us. Yes, we still struggle with sin in this life. Paul wants us to know that. He doesn't want you to think that you should look at yourself and see perfection and beauty, because we're going to see our own sin, and we are called to mortify and put it to death and to fight against sin and to fight that war that rages in our members. But he also wants us to know that God views us as completed and forgiven. He sees us through the work of Jesus Christ, and we've been set free to live according to the Spirit. Because living according to the Spirit is the opposite of living according to the flesh. Notice the distinction that is drawn. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. This reminds us of other verses that Paul gives us in places like Colossians chapter 3, when he says, set your minds on the things that are above, where Christ your life is. We as Christians ought to be thinking about the spiritual dimension of all things. We ought to be thinking about God. We ought to be thinking about how to live according to God. That is part of this war that Paul's talked about. He sees in his members another war that wages war on the law of his mind, that tries to make him captive to the sin that's still dwelling in him, that's trying to drag his mind from thinking about Christ and thinking about God and thinking about living after the Lord, and to drag his mind down into the dust and say, think about these things. Get your mind off God and think about your own flesh. Get your mind off the Lord Jesus Christ and think about your wants and your desires. In fact, anything that would just get us to stop thinking about God and His Word. That's what the flesh wants us to do. Because the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Can you get more opposite than that? The mind that is set on the Spirit is thinking about the things of God. The mind that is set on the flesh hates God. It's hostile to Him. This is why Christians have been described in these previous chapters when they ask questions, do we sin? Can we sin and the grace may abound? Can we do all these things? Can we just go back to sin? And Paul's saying, no. Because the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. And the Christian can never be that. Our mind should be set upon the Lord Jesus, set upon the things of the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. It should love God. And yeah, we'll sin, we'll fall short, we'll fail, until the Lord comes again and makes us complete and wipes away all the remnants of sin. But we can never go back to being hostile to God. Our mind, our heart, is to be set upon the things of God. This is what Paul wants us to see. That we've been set free, we've been given the Holy Spirit to love the things of God, to set our mind on the things of God, to live according to God. And that yes, as we walk in the Spirit, we are going to see ourselves as those who are fighting a battle within ourselves. And that's why it's important for Paul to come back and tell us, there's now no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. Because one of Satan's favorite tricks is to come back and say, see what you did there? See how you failed there? And look at that sin. And this one. Nobody could love somebody who did that. But there's now no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe He died on a cross for you, there's no condemnation for you. you've been forgiven of your sins. What a glorious thing. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can all say that because there's no condemnation, because Christ took it upon Himself on the cross. And He suffered death for you. Your condemnation is on Jesus. And so when He walks out of that tomb, you can know it's paid in full. There's no double jeopardy in God. He doesn't say, I know I punished Jesus for this, but now I'm going to punish you for the same thing. That's not how it works. There's no condemnation left. It's been fulfilled in God. He's satisfied in His Son, the Lord Jesus. And you can know that you are now a part of His family. And you can know that there is now no condemnation for you. Don't overlook the power of that little phrase. There is therefore now no condemnation. Not later. Paul's not saying after Jesus comes again or after you die there'll be no more condemnation and you'll be in heaven. He's saying no, now. Now. The very same now where Paul is saying I do the things I hate and I don't do the things that I want to do. But now, even in the midst of this, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Don't let Satan use this against you. The Christian life will be full of struggle. It will be times where you look at your life and say, I have sinned. Ah, this is awful. How could I have done it? Please forgive me. And you'll have to go to your neighbors and ask for forgiveness, your kids and ask for forgiveness, your parents and ask for forgiveness. But don't let Satan use the trick to say, therefore God doesn't love you. Don't let Satan use the trick of how are you going to earn your way back into God's favor after that mistake. Because we don't ever. Jesus has already paid it all. And there's no condemnation. You don't have to earn your way back into the household of God when you sin. No. You've been forgiven. There's now no condemnation for you. What a wondrous thing to know that the Father is there with His arms wide, loving us. We do need to see here as well that this is one of the places that we get that doctrine of total depravity. It's taught to us right here. That man without God is lost and is full of sin and is totally depraved. For the mind, verse 7, that is set on the flesh is hostile to God and it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The doctrine of total depravity is one of those things that is important to us as Reformed Christians. It's one of the things that's often under attack in the world today. Are you saying that somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ can't please God at all? Absolutely. That's what it says right here. But wait, don't those people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, don't they sometimes do really great and good things? Well, the Lord can give us great benefits, absolutely. But do those things please God? No. Without faith, you can't please God. The mind that is set on the flesh hates God and it cannot please God. You can only please God in the Lord Jesus. Be given that wondrous gift of faith and be connected to Him, then we can be right with God. Then we can do things that makes God say, well done, good and faithful servant. But not without Jesus and not without faith. Because you might be reading this and be also asking yourselves, well then how can I live according to the Spirit? How can I do these things where He's saying, live according to the Spirit and set my mind on the things of the Spirit? And don't worry, Paul's going to come and he's going to make it more clear later in the book of Romans. But right now what he's saying is, you've got to live according to the Word. You want your mind set on the things of God? You need to be in the Word of God. Is there a better way to set your mind and live according to the Spirit and set your mind on the things of the Spirit than to read the words that the Spirit has given us? Not just one day a week, but all the days. Read God's Word. Dig into His Word, and then you'll know that your mind is on the things of the Spirit. We can't live according to the Spirit of God if we're not going to be people of the Word. Let's go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You. And we praise You. Because we confess what we deserve, Lord, is death. We deserve the fruits of our sin, the wage of our sin, death and damnation. But You have not given that to us, O Lord. You and Your great mercy and Your great love have given us the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, there's no condemnation. In Him, we are saved. And we thank You. Protect us, O Lord, from the tricks of Satan to try to get us to doubt our salvation, to try to get us to doubt that uses our sin and tries to say it's greater than the blood of Jesus. Help us not fall for his lies. And help us, Lord, put our mind on the things of the Spirit. Make us people of Your Word, inside and out. We can't do it without Your help. We can't do it without Your grace. And so we ask for it, Lord. Make us known as those who love the Word of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.